Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 10, the opulence of the absolute, text number 11. Tesham eva anukampar artam aham agyana jam tamaha nashayami atmabhavasto jnana vipena bhashvata teshameva nukamparatam ahama jnana jam tamaha nashayam yatma bhavasto jnana vipena bhashvata teshameva nukamparatam ahama jnana jam tamaha nashayam yatma bhavasto jnana dipena bhashvata. Tesham, for them, eva, certainly, anukampa artam, to show special mercy, aham, I, agyanajam, due to ignorance, tamaha, darkness, nashayami, dispel, atmabhava, within their hearts, sta, situated, jnana, of knowledge, dipena, with the lamp, bhashvata, glowing. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation, to show them special mercy, I dwelling in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Purport. When Lord Chaitanya was in Banaras, promulgating the chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, thousands of people were following him. Prakashananda Saraswati, a very influential and learned scholar in Banaras at that time, derided Lord Chaitanya for being a sentimentalist. Sometimes philosophers criticize the devotees because they think that most of the devotees are in the darkness of ignorance and are philosophically naive sentimentalists. Actually, that is not the fact. There are very, very learned scholars who have put forward the philosophy of devotion. But even if a devotee does not take advantage of their literatures or of his spiritual master, if he is sincere in his devotional service, he is helped by Krishna himself within his heart. So the sincere devotee engaged in Krishna consciousness cannot be without knowledge. The only qualification is that one carry out devotional service in full Krishna consciousness. The modern philosophers think that without discriminating, one cannot have pure knowledge. For them, this answer is given by the Supreme Lord. Those who are engaged in pure devotional service, even though they be without sufficient education, and even without sufficient knowledge of the Vedic principles, are still helped by the Supreme God, as stated in this verse. The Lord tells Arjuna that basically there is no possibility of understanding the Supreme Truth, the Absolute Truth, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, simply by speculating. The Supreme Truth is so great that it is not possible to understand Him or to achieve Him simply by making a mental effort. Man can go on speculating for millions of years, And if he's not devoted, if he's not a lover of the Supreme Truth, he'll never understand Krishna or the Supreme Truth. Only by devotional service is the Supreme Truth Krishna pleased, and by his inconceivable energy, he can reveal himself to the heart of the pure devotee. The pure devotee always has Krishna within his heart, and with the presence of Krishna, who is just like the sun, the darkness of ignorance is at once dissipated. This is the special mercy rendered to the pure devotee by Krishna. Due to the contamination of material association, through many, many millions of births, one's heart is always covered with the dust of materialism. But if one engages in devotional service and constantly chants Hare Krishna, the dust quickly clears and one is elevated to the platform of pure knowledge. The ultimate goal, Vishnu, can be obtained only by this chant and by devotional service, and not by mental speculation or argument. The pure devotee does not have to worry about the material necessities of life. He need not be anxious, because when he removes the darkness from his heart, everything is provided automatically by the Supreme Lord, who is pleased by the loving devotional service of the devotee. This is the essence of the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. By studying Bhagavad Gita, one can become a soul completely surrendered to the Supreme Lord and engage himself in pure devotional service. As the Lord takes charge, one becomes completely free from all kinds of materialistic endeavors. Tesham eva nukamparatam ahama agyanajam tamaha nashamyam yatma bhavashto jnana deepena bhashvata. To show them special mercy, I dwell in their hearts, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhaya Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvisesa Shunyavadi Paskatya De Satarne. In the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, Mayaya Shakti Manatparta Yogam Yunjan Manashraya Asam Sayam Samagramam Yata Gyasasi Tatschinu. Now hear from me, O son of Pritha, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. And there it says that Krishna consciousness means the more or less the art of focusing one's attention and giving one's love to Krishna. As we said before, in the first 6 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, the living entity has been described as non-material spirit soul, who is capable of elevating himself to self-realization by different types of yogas. And at the end of the 6 chapters, clearly stated that the concentration of the mind upon Krishna, or in other words, Krishna consciousness, is the highest form of all yoga. By concentrating one's mind upon Krishna, one is able to know the absolute truth completely, but not otherwise. Or in the Bhagavad Gita, it is also stated, Jnanena tutad ajnanam yesham ashritam atmanah tesham adityavaj jnanam prakashiti tatparam. When is enlightened with the knowledge by which nations is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything, just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. And in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said, Krishna Surya Haya Maya Haya and Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andakar Yahum Krishna Tahun Yahum Maya Adhikar. That wherever there is Krishna, there is no possibility of Maya. That Krishna is like the sun, Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Haya Andakar. And Maya is just like darkness. So if Krishna is there, then there is no question of darkness. Just like wherever the sun is, there can't be any question of darkness. Therefore, it is explained here that knowledge may be helpful to raise us to the platform of accepting pure devotional service, but that's why it's helpful. That the essence of knowledge or philosophy is that one should constantly think of Krishna and engage in his service. So one who's doing that, who's constantly thinking of Krishna and always engaging in his service, he's already reached the pinnacle of philosophical understanding. That even if he didn't arrive at that conclusion with the guidance of a spiritual master, or as it says here, or the literatures of very learned scholars, But somehow or another, if one finds himself engaged in devotional service to Krishna and is always chanting Hare Krishna, then he's reached the pinnacle of knowledge. Of course, we don't find people doing that. In other words, if we investigate, we won't find that people are constantly chanting Hare Krishna with love and devotion and engage constantly in Krishna service unless they generally have the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master as well as studying the bona fide literatures. But it is possible, theoretically, that if one can simply at once accept this philosophy or this understanding that simply I must engage in service to Krishna and constantly chant his name, constantly remember him, then one reaches the highest perfection of life at once. As Krishna says in the 12th chapter, or he will say in the 12th chapter, Maya yeva, yeti sarvani karmani maya sanyasi matparha ananya naiva yogena mam dayanta upasite te shamaham sumudartam ritu samsara sagarat bhavamina charam parata maya veshita chetasam. For those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me, being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service and always thinking of me, who have completely fixed their minds upon me, O son of Pritha, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. So here we find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was doing that. He was always absorbed in loving Krishna, feeling separation from Krishna, always engaged in trying to spread the Sankirtan movement, or engaged in the Sankirtan movement, in devotional service to Krishna. And when he had to, he was able to defeat great scholars such as Prakashananda Saraswati. So this is the solution to our problems. Somehow or another we have to study this literature though, as we've mentioned. It is not that we generally are convinced. We already have other types of philosophies which we're attached to, and because we're attached to these other conceptions, therefore we generally don't take devotional service as seriously as we should. We don't take the idea that I must always chant Hare Krishna so seriously, what to speak of taking the idea that I must always engage in the Lord's service. Because we have other philosophies known as different types of weeds. Anya Vilashita Shunya, known as Anya Vilashita. Different types of material desires. We haven't made them quite shunyam or zero. Shunyam. And they're generally in the realm of jnana and karma, or perhaps yoga. That is, karma means that we are desiring a nice situation in this material world, and jnana means that we are speculating somehow or another on something. And yoga, of course, means that we want to control the material world in different ways through some mystic power. And there may be other types of weeds also, known as puja, the desire for adoration, pratishta, the desire for position, jiva hingsa, harming other living entities. So there are different weeds that grow in the heart, and they choke the bhakti lata bij if they're allowed to grow. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu compared devotional service to the sowing of a seed within the heart and then watering it with this process of hearing and chanting. So if one does that and only does that, then gradually the creeper will grow and will eventually reach the spiritual sky. But as gardeners, one has to also learn the art of taking out the weeds, and especially these weeds of jnana and karma, this desiring sense gratification and this mental speculation, thinking that there's another idea higher than Krishna consciousness, another idea that I am Krishna's eternal servant. So it may sound very, how is it possible that one can think that he's something other than Krishna's servant? Because officially we may accept ourselves as Krishna's servant, but deep in our heart we may think, someday I may become the master. Or even Krishna is God, but let me enjoy a little bit pretending that I'm the master. Let's see how far we can take this pretension, how much enjoyment there is there. And the essence of that pretension, of course, is sex desire, especially the more subtle types of sex desire known as profit, adoration, and distinction. That even one may try to restrain himself from from gross sex desire, still that desire that I am something special, that my body is something special, that I am something special, that I am distinct, I have some special quality, and that I am I need something in return for what I'm doing. Some special facilities. Of course, to do our service, it's not that, as Prabhupada once wrote to me, we may take some facility, but that is to help spread Krishna consciousness. Not that we think, oh, we won't take any facility, let's all move to the barn and live with the cows and execute devotional service from there. That may be nice. Actually, Yudhisthira Maharaj used to do that. He'd live in his palace during the day and he'd rule the world. And at night he'd take rest in the barn with the cows. Because I'm sure it was more peaceful in the barn with the cows than in the palace. Besides, I'm sure it smelled better. Because cows smell quite nice. They, just by smelling them, one comes to the mode of goodness. So palaces are usually quite noisy and things, so many problems are going on. But the cows, they don't have so much problems as long as there's enough hay in the barn. So I'm sure he'd like to associate with living entities who are quite satisfied. But in any case, that is not our position. Besides that, the barn here is probably a little cold. Of course, we could heat it. But that is not our position to execute devotional service. One has to accept those facilities that are necessary that to serve Krishna. We're not rejecting anything. But one should not desire unnecessary facilities. Therefore it says that Prabhupada used to have on his sign the verse by Rupa Goswami. It says, Nirbandha Krishna Sambande Yukta Vairagyam Uchite Anasaktasya Vishayan Etarham Upuyunjitaha Nirbandha Krishna Sambande Yukta Vairagyam Uchite. That renunciation of things that have a relationship to Krishna is incomplete. Real complete renunciation is when one completely engages all one's energies in the service of Krishna. So whatever energies, whatever facilities Krishna is giving us, we should engage with them in Krishna's service. But the idea is to come to this platform of purifying our heart by such service. That service is incomplete unless it is actually going to purify our heart. And the main cause of the heart becoming purified is the association of Krishna and his devotees. That if one is associating with Krishna in Krishna consciousness, especially by chanting his holy name, then all these impurities within our heart, these material contaminations, they become dissipated through the energy of Ladini Shakti, and one is able to see things as they actually are. We shouldn't think that this happens overnight. It is a gradual process. It seems very simple, but as Prabhupada said, we have become quite complicated, and therefore it is not so simple for those who are a little complicated. Prabhupada, of course, used the word crooked, but because we have a very subtle, our devious mentality is generally quite subtle, therefore it's very difficult to simply accept the process of pure devotional service because it's so simple. But by gradually practicing, then one can come to the perfect stage. Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he comes with his Nitya Lila devotees, it appears quite simple that some of them used to remain and they constantly chant the Hare Krishna mantra, like one was Murari Chaitanya Das. He would constantly immerse himself in water, he'd be able to immerse himself in water for 3 days and chant the Hare Krishna mantra underneath the water. And sometimes he'd go into the forest and he'd put poisonous snakes on his lap and play with them. And when he would find tigers in the forest, he'd slap their faces. So it seems very easy. He was so ecstatic, absorbed in Krishna consciousness, that even the animals in the forest were enchanted by him. But we should not imitate such devotees. We shouldn't go to the zoo and stick our hand, start slapping the face of the tiger. Chant Hare Krishna, you rascal. We might get an unpleasant effect. So we should see how exalted these devotees are and meditate upon them, but at the same time we cannot imitate them. We should patiently try to execute our devotional service, and sometimes there may be some impediments, so one should be patient. Tattenu kampam susmikshamano bunjana evatma kritam vipakam tadvag vapuvir vidadan namaste shiveta. Yes, but there's one more word there. Shiveta something. Mukti pada sadayava. So one should know that we may face some difficulty. We may face some disturbance within our mind or senses due to our past activities. But one should go on tolerating these things. And the important thing is try to develop the conviction that it is a fact that simply by executing devotional service and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, that my heart will become purified and gradually I'll come to the elevated platform of pure love for awareness and love for Krishna. Krishna consciousness may not solve, in one sense, our economic problems. It will solve them, of course, if we become Krishna conscious. In the sense that if one becomes a pure devotee, he's satisfied in any kind of economic situation. And if one's not a pure devotee of Krishna, he's not satisfied in any economic situation. I heard one story of one man. He was lamenting that he had a debt to pay to his bank. So he went to one of these revival meetings, and the preacher there, who makes a lot of money from his followers, but he was saying, my dear preacher man, I'm in such anxiety because I owe the bank so much money. And the preacher said, well, why are you so much anxiety? It's the bank's problem, it's not yours. If you don't pay, what can the bank do? Of course, the man didn't have anything, so there's nothing to take back by the bank. So in the same way, if one has an economic problem, it is actually... everyone has economic problems because no one knows what's going to happen tomorrow. One may have $1 billion in the bank, and he may have 1 billion different problems trying to maintain all his money in anxiety that perhaps tomorrow, if he doesn't maintain it, he'll lose it all. So everyone feels himself in difficulty. As one great very wealthy person said, that when he was asked, what is your deepest desire in life? What are you looking forward to now that you have so many billions of dollars? He said, I'm looking forward to making more money. So if one is free from this desire for economic development and sense gratification, etc., or even liberation, then he can actually be peaceful. And if he's not, then even if one is the wealthiest or most intelligent person in the world, if he's not Krishna conscious, he can never be peaceful. Anyone know that verse? Yeah. Sakale Ashanta. Asanta. Yeah, so if one is a Krishna devotee, pure devotee of Krishna, then he can actually be peaceful. But if one is a yogi or a karmi or a jnani, if one is searching for power in the world, or if he's trying to search for philosophical knowledge, or he's trying to gain something here, he can never be peaceful, because that desire itself will haunt one. So our real problem is not our material situation, whether it's good or bad. Our real problem is our desires that are from our material desires that haunt us. And the process of getting rid of them is explained here, that by engaging loving service to Krishna and chanting Hare Krishna. And if we engage in philosophy, that's to help us come to be convinced about this, And if we engage in different types of activities, it is simply meant to please Krishna, to come to this conviction. So we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes.
I don't know what it gets to get through. Many times in the past I used to do about 50% we take time go to the baby with a creeper, and about 50% of the time we take care of the leaves to pull them out. Is that in one sense the same process?
It can be, but it's not always. In other words, if we're chanting Hare Krishna, engaging in devotional service, there's no problem. But if we're doing other activities, other than that, then we have to take out those attachments. And the process of taking out those attachments causes by, for instance, reading these books, which is also devotional service, or by discussion, or by just making a resolution to change that habit, or by praying to Krishna. So it is by engaging in devotional service, of course, that we get free from the inferior activity by accepting the superior. But there's a difference between meditating on Krishna and coming to the philosophical understanding of what is indirectly or what is impeding our progress. For instance, we spend some time learning about what are the different anarthas that impede us. So that's not directly a meditation on Krishna, perhaps, but at least it's meditation on something that's impeding our meditation on Krishna. So with that knowledge, then when we feel that I want some adoration, we act in such a way, thinking I'm the greatest, I'm, you know, then we can check ourselves with knowledge that actually I'm not the greatest, that Krishna is the greatest. So I think, I don't know, 50%, I don't know where that comes from, but I'd say that more or less we emphasize mostly to engage ourselves in the process of sadhana bhakti and pure devotional service, and we spend some time trying to get free from our anarthas. Yeah, of course, he has to pick out, you know, there's that type of weed, and there's the bhakti lata bee, you should water that, don't put so much water on that. Yeah, of course. It is said that if one chants the Hare Krishna mantra and he doesn't try and give up the offenses, then he'll be watering the weeds rather than the creeper. So one may spend a lot of time watering the weeds and think he has a very nice plant, but if he presents it before the spiritual master will tell him to yank it out. But if he doesn't, he may waste all his time and get a nice variety of weeds, and the bhakti lata bij may disappear. We've seen that already. If one thinks that he's above, it's probably right. It's one who thinks that he's above consulting with the Vaishnavas or even with the spiritual master, then he's at once fallen. So anyone who thinks that he's above consulting with the devotees, spiritual master also means the other Vaishnavas, or with the spiritual master, then one at once becomes fallen. But to speak, one will never be able to discriminate because one thinks he's the greatest. The aim of the Krishna consciousness is come to think we're the most, you know, we're the servant of the Vaishnavas. But if one thinks that I'm no one's servant because I know everything, then his situation is not very desirable.
Yeah, that's the idea. It says, Dao Shara Tata Sada Sangha. Therefore, for that reason, we have the association of devotees to help us. Especially nice association. If we have a not so nice association, that may be one of our weeds. But if we have nice association with the devotees, they help us. They inspire us to take shelter of Krishna. And by being inspired in that way, then so many weeds naturally come up. And by seeing their example, naturally we feel we'll become inspired to follow their example and not be deviated by so many material attachments. Anything else? Well, one should pray to Krishna. One should think within himself, I'm doing this activity simply to please Krishna. That I have no desire, I have no goal in this activity, save and except to act just to please in Krishna consciousness, just to please Krishna. And if we do that, then Krishna will help us by giving us more intelligence. Or we can ask Krishna's representatives to teach us how to train others, to train us how to train others. So one should take shelter of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and then Krishna will be able to help more within, to give us more information. Because after all, if we're doing something we don't like doing it, and the person doesn't like it that we don't like doing it, and we don't like it that they don't like us doing it, then it gets rather complicated. It'll be very difficult to train anyone. Means chanting Hare Krishna, coming to the program. It's just our basic program. Just what we're doing. Of course, it could mean different things to different things. There's so much training. Just like he wrote a letter to Karanda about administration, how he wanted our society to be administrated. So there's so much training at every level. Deity worship, temple administration, book distribution, everything. So much training is needed. The society is primarily an educational society, but we're not educating people on, you know, so many useless topics. But we are educating people how to preach Krishna consciousness, how to live in a brahminical way, how to administrate properly. We are trying to do that. Yes.
Maharaj, you know, as that movement, as Kali Yuga goes further and further, you know, as you get more and more into Kali Yuga, people become more degraded. So when they join the movement, they may be more degraded than they were, let's say, 20 years ago. You think that our movement will be geared up to deal with that, you know, people?
Well, if that was true, our movement would, you know, if it was progressing like the way it is now, you know, in 200 years, you have people who only eat people. They won't step, you know, unless the temple serves people, they won't come in. Oh, as Kali Yuga advances, there'll be more of a split between the demons and the devotees. Therefore, the devotees will become stronger, and many people will become more pious and more Krishna conscious, and other people will become more and more animalistic.
I was thinking of the story of the man of the devotee, the man who recognized the man, you know, and it was a guy, you know, he had a sex change. He wanted to be a woman, you know. So he paid thousands of dollars, you know, in a sex change, took all the pills and all the stuff, you know. Had the operation, and then he met the devotees. He found out that he wasn't his body. You know, so that really blew his mind. So then he moved into the temple, you know. And then he wanted to stay. She was, you know, like a woman, you know. And she wanted to stay in the ashram, in the lady's ashram, but he wasn't allowed to stay in the ashram. So she basically had to move out.
Well, I don't think, as Kali Yuga goes on, everyone will change their sex. We'll just, even if that was true, we just have a special ashram. I mean, if that was true, then people with normal, their original sex wouldn't be allowed into the ashram. There wouldn't be any place for them. No, these are extreme cases. I mean, the fact is that things are becoming deteriorated, but it doesn't mean that as Krishna consciousness goes on, we can see that more people are becoming vegetarians, more people believe in reincarnation. These things are also increasing. Many more people are chanting Hare Krishna now, studying Prabhupada's books. So this will gradually counteract Kali Yuga, and there will be a class of people who do that. And other people, they'll leave their body and they won't come back in a human form of life. But of course, we can see that some people, society in general, there will be a class of society that becomes more and more degraded until a Krishna consciousness government, Krishna conscious government, stops it. So that will take some time. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.